Welcome to Reputation Revolution. This is the podcast where we deep dive into all the many and varied elements that go into building an authentic professional personal brand. Now, I say professional, I underscore that word, because we're all about rock solid credibility, building recognition and enhancing reputation so you can grow your sphere of influence and create more impact in the marketplace or community in which you operate. Now, you know your stuff. You've been around the block once or twice, and you've got the runs on the board and no doubt the scars on the knuckles and the scuffs on the knees to prove it. Now, the goal, of course, is to do the professional you justice out there in the marketplace, to get you out there in a respectful way, to get you noticed for all the right reasons, to build an audience of allies and followers of your personal brand, what it is you do and stand for. Recognition plus reputation equals influence and impact. Cutting through the clutter in a noisy, hyper-competitive commercial environment where everyone has a digital megaphone and many aren't afraid to use it to tell the world how great they are. They're the challenges we have in front of us. Now let's quickly look at the four broad topic pillars we focus on here on the Reputation Revolution. Number one is establishing your professional expert voice in the marketplace. That's the strategy part. Then enhancing the credibility of that voice. Why should people take any notice of you? Thirdly, extending the reach of your voice, growing an audience of, as I said earlier, fans and allies and supporters of your work, of who you are and what you stand for. And finally, extracting value from your voice. Now, this might be growing out your business organically and creating more leads and sales, or it could be about giving your career a shot in the arm. But it also takes in the myriad commercial opportunities that come with being a notable and influential and visible voice, a recognized professional expert in your field of endeavor. Now, important to note, this is not about fashioning yourself into an Instagram influencer so people will pay you bucks to spruik their products. I'm sure there are other podcasts that do that. I'm sure it'll be easy to find them if you go looking. This is also not about crafting a false persona, one that you think your audience wants. Now, don't laugh. You'd be surprised at how many business leaders take acting lessons to become someone they think others want them to be. But perhaps mostly this podcast is not about simply giving our personal brand a glossy makeover in order to cover up deficiencies. Make no mistake, there is no shortage of people online who market themselves brilliantly. Their website, their graphics, photography, they're all first class. They have their messaging down pat and they know enough internet copywriting hacks to draw in unsuspecting punters. Now, you've come across these people. They talk a big game, but all too often they come up short if you scratch a little bit beneath the surface. You'll find lots of platitudes and regurgitation of other people's thinking, but little depth, not much in the way of original thought or ideas, and in some cases, not much experience to go with the marketing package. Now, I don't begrudge anyone marketing themselves well, having a slick website or a well-honed shtick. Far from it. I'm in the marketing business myself. But for this purpose, for this podcast, what I am focused on is helping entrepreneurs and business leaders and professional experts, those people who genuinely have lots to give, ideas and knowledge to share, value that they want to provide to others. I want these people in the spotlight. We need more genuine experts and leaders out there telling their story and sharing their wisdom, their experiences, their lessons learned. Now, for various reasons, many of these professional people are pretty invisible. Now, I say various reasons. Now, it might be because they don't know what to do or exactly how to go about doing it. And that is very, very understandable. There are heaps of things we need to learn if we're going to put ourselves out there in a genuine way to build and maintain our personal brand and professional reputation. Just doing a good job is not enough these days, as we all know. That's why I interview brilliant people on this podcast to share their stories and ideas, their experiences, what lessons have they learned. We can all learn together. And secondly, there is the dreaded imposter syndrome. Now, it doesn't matter how experienced we are, many of us fall prey to the dreaded inner critic that metaphorically sits on our shoulder and tells us in no uncertain terms that we shouldn't be sharing our ideas with the world, that we're not good enough, that no one will take any notice of what we have to say. Damn, get rid of that inner critic. Hand in hand with this lack of confidence is our reluctance to put ourselves out there for fear of being seen to be bragging. Now, maybe it's an age thing, but for many of us, being seen to be overtly promotional is not in our makeup. All I can say about that is, if you deliver enough value over time, if you consistently show up and help others, then you have every right to promote yourself. You have earned this right. But of course, we see the slick marketing machines who are always promoting, and it puts us off. We've got to get over this. And finally, there is the challenge of time, or lack thereof. Now, I haven't got time to be tweeting, I haven't got time to be hanging out on LinkedIn, I haven't got the time to be writing articles or producing videos. Personally, I think it's a furphy. It's an excuse. Maybe the reason you're not putting yourself out there is because you're not sure how to go about it. Again, fair call. Or the inner critic may have the better of you. And that's fine. They're roadblocks that can be overcome. Time. There are ways around that too. We can be smart with how we build a thought leadership positioning in the marketplace, but it will require some effort on your part. If you want the benefits without putting in the work, feel free to outlay some coin to the latest guru's blueprint to personal brand success, and good luck with that. And please, if you're not genuine, if you don't care about building and connecting with an audience, if you don't want to create content and be part of a bigger conversation within your industry or your specific field of endeavor, that's okay too. None of this will appeal to you. Just don't fall for said guru's slick marketing message. Alrighty, this has been a build up to today's special guest. His name is Pat Mannix. He's a partner in the Melbourne-based accounting firm, Paris Financial. Pat is the small business tax champion. Now, what I love about Pat is that he has a go. He shares heaps of value with the small business community. He demystifies legislation. He unpacks complex issues around all things tax. And we know how confusing a lot of the tax issues can be. He provides savvy business tips and advice and delivers the occasional rant against multinational companies that don't pay their fair share of tax. Bang, he gets rid of them as well. But most importantly, I think Pat's content is the real deal. Yes, it's valuable content for an intended audience, small business owners, but I think it's how he presents that content. That's what really resonates with me. With Pat, what you see is what you get. He's a really genuinely funny guy, and his personality really shines through in his videos. This is very welcome, given that a lot of the subject matter is on the dry side. Sorry to the accountants out there. In this interview, we break down how Pat approaches his videos. He's done over 150 of them now, and you could say he's got it down pat. Sorry about that. He chats about the need to inject personality on camera. We go through that, and why the key to content success is consistency. Pat also discusses how creating content has given him visibility in the marketplace or within small business circles, and not just him personally, but clearly his brand, Paris Financial, and how it leads to new business as well. I think you'll enjoy the chat, I really do. But just before we get into it, two points I want to make here. Pat knew for a long time he needed to create content to help build the Paris Financial brand and to market the business. And I just want to reinforce, he had a crack. He just got off his backside and he started. He did it. His initial videos were pretty raw, but he kept at it. Now that's the key lesson right there. Just get into it. Just start and keep going. You will improve all the time. The second thing is, in the interest of disclosure, I worked with Pat and the team in the early days to help get them on the right track. But the doing has all been Pat with the support from his marketing team internally. And it's really been terrific to see him continue to create video content over an extended period of times and to start reaping the benefits accordingly. Okay, let's get into it, shall we?
Welcome to Reputation Revolution. This is the podcast where we help individuals like you to establish your voice in the marketplace, enhance the credibility of that voice, extend the reach of your story and your message, and finally, extract value from your efforts in building a meaningful personal brand that's both recognized and respected. Now, on with the show.
Welcome to the Reputation Revolution podcast, Pat Mannix. You are with Paris Financial here in Melbourne. Why don't you tell us a little bit about Paris Financial, and then I want to get into the content that you create. You've gone into your Mr. Video at the moment, so we'll get into that. Tell us a bit about Paris Financial, how big it is, the sorts of services you provide.
Yeah, g'day, Trev. Thanks for having us. Yeah, I've been doing these videos for a little while now. But Paris Financial's a family business, still got a bit of family in the business. My father started in 1978 here in Melbourne in, you know, advising small business on tax and structures, et cetera, and I followed him in the early 90s. And my sister, mum, dad, I've got a cousin working in the business, and we've sort of grown it from there, and we sort of lead with, tax structures and trying to get the best tax results for clients. And we also have private wealth, financial planning, and mortgage broking as well. They've come along in the last sort of 5 to 10 years, are ensconced in the business and a big part of it too. So we've got offices, our main head office is in Blackburn, but we've also got an inner city office in East Melbourne and one down the beach at Mornington when I'm feeling like a few waves, mate.
Sounds like the perfect setup. And you've got about 70 staff, I think you were saying before.
Yeah, that's right. Yep, 70. So, we can deal with anyone pretty much in the eastern suburbs of Melbourne. We've got, you know, clients elsewhere too, but, we've got 70 people.
Yeah. And so one thing I want to sort of talk about is your content. So I guess, you know, fair to say that, accounting and tax and everything for a lot of people is a pretty dry subject. And, a lot of accountants are thought to be pretty buttoned down. But I want to talk about the videos you do because they are not buttoned down. And the reason I want to talk to you about your videos because I'm not sure how many you've done, but you've done quite a few now over the journey. But the good thing with the videos is that they're very genuine, authentic. They're pretty rough and ready, but the information and the content is very, very good. So can you tell us just about the video series that you do, how often you do it, how many you've done sort of thing, because you've probably got a bit of a portfolio. And in interest of disclosure, we worked with each other a little while ago now, and it's been great to see you sort of take off in this realm. So I've watched you very closely in this space for obvious reasons. How many videos do you think you've done?
Oh, probably upwards of maybe 120, over a few years now. It's getting up to nearly 3 years, I think. Yeah. I was keen to sort of get started on it, and I think there's a couple of key things with it. I must admit, I am, and a couple of our people are very passionate about tax and saving clients money on tax, but it's such one a very, very boring subject, but it's quite complicated too that I try to cut through and show the punters out there in small business, mainly small business, where you can make tax savings. So I really love finding a client and saving them money on tax and trying to tell them about it. So that was one of the big motivations. But the actual videos, the best thing I learned off you was to just do it, because you could go out and do a video about whatever you're going to do, and I'll obviously do mine on tax, and you run it for 2 to 3 minutes and you might make a blue here or there, or you say the wrong thing at a particular time, a few ums and a few ahs, but you might redo that video 5 times and still make a few blues. And I learned off you that just get it done and get it out there. And the main thing is content. So people are going to look at it and who are trying to, you know, deal with their tax in small business. So the ums and the ahs don't really matter too much. So I'll tend to think of a topic and things come up a fair bit in tax. They haven't too much during COVID because it's all defensive stuff and that sort of thing from the government. But in normal times, you've got tax changes on a semi-regular basis, and so something will come up. I'll think about it in my mind, and then I tend to do it Monday morning. But really, Trevor, it's really a half hour, mate. So you're mulling over the topic, and then you just get in front of the camera, test the microphone, get it out, and I usually do it in one take. So you just, you know, you're mulling over, get it out there, do it on a Monday morning, 8:30. It's all done by 9, give it to our team, and then they just get it on all our channels, on LinkedIn, Facebook, our blog. We get it out to our clients, and it just adds to our overall marketing.
Yeah. Now, when you say, so a lot of times you've got a whiteboard with you and you're explaining, so the goal of the videos, it's not that you're just doing stuff, there is a goal to it, and the goal is to try and demystify sometimes they're quite, you know, you talk about trusts and also different tax scenarios, or you talk about new legislation and what that means to small businesses, who is obviously the core of your target audience. Walk us through that side of things. Is that something that, I guess, using the whiteboard is kind of a good lever to explain things and to break it right down? Because what I found with your videos is that they are quite complex, but you make it very easy for us to understand, and you have a joke along the way.
Yeah, that's right. So if you pick up your financials off your accountant and you're doing quite well in business, it's likely you'll have two trusts at a company and your own individual returns, and the money all flows and you pay tax. But on a whiteboard, you can cut out some of those entities and use the major numbers, like, well, you've made, you know, $200,000 profit and you will pay, you know, $30,000 tax. But if you did it in, if you did it in a company structure, you would be paying $60,000 tax. So you need to cut through some of the jargon and the structures, or you'll bore people silly. You're struggling to keep their eyes on the camera anyway with tax. So I think the whiteboard's quite good. Look, mine are pretty sketchy. You know, potentially people could do it and they could do some graphics and pull in something on video, but it's got to be very simple. So, and boxes and arrows work, but not too many of them. So, and if people are a little, you know, you do your best you can to disseminate the information in the simplest way, but if it stays a little bit complicated, it's not such a bad thing in professional services, because they've got to come and talk to you anyway and get personal advice. So little mistakes you might make, as I said, in the language you use, or, you know, we don't make mistakes on the legislation, but some of it can cut through, and you know, people could look at it and they've got queries, they can, you know, they can ask questions.
Yeah. And now this is a bit I want to get to, because I mean, there's some of them you're wearing a suit, but particularly the early stuff, you're a supporter of the Richmond Football Club. So you like wearing a bit of Richmond gear, but I noticed one of the ones you did when we went into lockdown with COVID, that you were wearing it's just got a certain type of name, because it's not just a hoodie, it's a doona and a hoodie by the looks of things, but you have a bit of fun with what you're wearing, and if there's a theme that's obvious that you play to that theme, tell us about the thinking behind that, and probably the first time, what are some of the more outrageous things you've done on video, because I just want people to get a bit of a taste. They are a bit of fun, and we'll put links to all your videos in the show notes, but what are some of the more outrageous things you've probably decked yourself out into?
Oh, I think, I think even in professional services, you can bring out a bit of your own passions that are slightly outside of your, you know, particular field. However, you know, for a number of years, or especially till COVID hit, you know, what really upset me was something which is probably the biggest topic you can think of, which is multinational corporate tax. You know, these big companies like Google, and you go on and on and on, and they don't pay enough corporate tax. It used to really piss me off. So I thought, well, how am I going to get me pissed off about that? No one's probably going to really look at it, but I don't care anyway, but it's something I'm passionate about. So I used to jump into the Richmond football gear, and that would be synonymous, you know, with me getting upset about these big companies just paying no tax by going to places like Singapore and Ireland and the Cayman Islands. It just pissed me off. So that was a good way to show one, show a bit of a rebellious side. So I think one of the videos, I think I cut my hair like Dustin Martin and put on his jumper and put on a fake tattoo and, you know, got angry about that. So I ran with that theme for a while. Look, they're just silly. Not sure my business partners were very impressed with them, but just sort of put those out there, Trev, and probably stop those a little bit now because, I don't know, there's probably bigger issues in the world now. So certainly, so there was a combination of an issue I was pretty passionate about on the tax side, as well as, you know, I was a long-suffering Richmond supporter for 37 years, mate, and now we're in dreamland sort of thing. So, you know, getting information out about, you know, I follow the Tigers and I like Manchester United in England and, you know, I'm a bit of a sports fan, so you can get that sort of information out as well. So I think you've got to try to get a bit of your own stuff out there too, so people can see, oh, well, it's a person and that bloke's into sport and the Tigers and all that sort of thing, and it doesn't hurt to show that sort of stuff. Yeah, with the Udi, that, well, we were locked down in Melbourne, as you know, and it was like 2 or 3 months of it, months ago, it was just ridiculous. We were locked down that much that everyone's doing work in their pajamas and their moccasins and all that. So I got this Udi. My daughters actually, I've got two daughters, 13 and 16, they all ordered two pink Udis, you know, and they got sent to us. But we opened the pack and there was a pink one and a grey one. And Father's Day was coming up. I said, that's exactly what I want. So we put the grey one aside, went back to the Udi company, and they said, oh, we sent you the wrong colour. We'll give you another pink one. So my daughter's got the pink ones and I got the grey one. And I thought, you know, I'm actually working in my Udi a bit because we were locked down, so I might as well do a video in it. So, yeah, it is good to throw in a bit of your own personality. Everyone's different, even if you're in tax. We've still got personalities, Trev.
I know. I see it on the video. And I mean, that's the key to it, isn't it, Pat? It's about, you know, just doing it, having it real, authentic. People do business with people, not logos. And you know, as long as it's not taking away from your message and your story. And I do like the, you know, the rants you've had at the multinationals, because also that shows that, you know, you're passionate about, you know, people paying their fair share, and you're standing up for something and you're having a point of view. And I think that's another thing with people in professional services, particularly, that they're scared to have a point of view because they might put someone off. So, you know, and a lot of people I know of or have dealt with, and they're just too scared to. Video is probably at the cutting edge. You know, they might do an article because they could, you know, tidy it up and spend a lot of time just editing until it's probably doesn't really say much. But when you're on the video and it's up there for good, you know, you've got to live with that. So you've got to believe in your point of view and stand by it. And that scares a lot of people. But as you say, that's who you are, and people will gravitate to you because of that. What sort of feedback have you had on the videos, particularly maybe early on when you were doing it? I know that you get some, you know, we're getting some pretty good views on some of the videos.
Yeah, well, we get some mixed views of them, but I think the main thing we get from clients, potential clients and people out there is that they're helpful. You know, just to disseminate stuff on tax. A lot of people, they don't end up clients, but I do like getting information out there that's a bit easier to look at on tax. However, you know, we do get, you know, potential clients will look at the videos, and at least they know, oh, this person knows what they're talking about in small business tax. I'll go and have a chat to them. So it has been a good and continuing part of our marketing. And like I said earlier, Trev, that we do, you know, private wealth and we do mortgage broking as well, but our best clients and our best space through all our finance professionals are in growing small business people. And so our main area is small business tax, and our other services feed off that. So it's actually playing, you know, to our whole brand is about small business tax. So the videos are focused on that. So we get good responses, and, you know, I have mates who say, oh, I saw you up again that, Pat, so I just fast forwarded, you know, or that sort of thing. But I've found it really good. It's just a part of things now, although I'm just starting to get back into it now because we've come out of lockdown. Yeah. Didn't do too many.
I guess the other part of it too is that, as you say, it serves a number of purposes. One, it gets you visibility. and gives you a reason, or gives people a reason to take notice of you when they might not necessarily have a reason. I'm saying on, say, LinkedIn or something like that, where a lot of your audience would be. But I guess there's that clarification of the information you're giving, but you're demonstrating you know what you're talking about, because how many accountancy firms and tax firms tell the world how great they are, but there's no way of really telling. And at least this is a way to say, listen, we know what we're talking about, and we're giving that information for free, because that's the part that really scares professional services. Well, why would I give out information that people pay me for? And you know, you'll probably say, and I'm of this mindset that the more you give, the more you get back. And at the end of the days, people aren't going to do it themselves. You can teach them how to do it. They're still not going to, they're going to come to you, and they're going to be more educated, and they probably won't even talk to anyone else. They might come directly to you because they feel like they know you.
Yeah, well, yes. So anyone watching this from professional services or listening to this from professional services would understand that most clients still come via referral, but these days they check you out. You know, are you up to date? Are you online and all those sorts of things? So they certainly come and check you out. And what most professional services people will find is, like me, like I've got a passion for small business tax and saving clients. And most professional services who are partners will have that as well. But I've had, we're going to pick up a client. I reckon he's about our average client size is, only sort of $3,000-$4,000. You know, we're in that small business space. So that's the average annual client fee, $2,000-$4,000. But, I had one guy come and he said, oh, I've been looking at your LinkedIn videos, Pat, and, he was moving on from his accountant for whatever reason. So he came to me because of that. I mean, he's a $60,000 client now, only because he looked at that stuff and said, oh, this fella knows what he's talking about with tax. And I talk to him all the time, and he's around about my age, and we talk about all that sort of stuff. Another fella did come because of the generosity of it, or part generosity, part knowledge. So he watched it for 6 months. He goes, I can see, Pat, how you're talking about a company beneficiary, we save tax. And he sort of knew it. You know, that client's about a $30,000 client. So I'm pitching, our strength is in growing small businesses, and those people are our favoured clients. And, they're not dropping off trees. It's not like, just going and buying lollies. It's professional services. But the ones who do land with us like that, they're very good, and they're in our space. So it's sort of weeding out people who, and we do lots of individual returns as well, and property investors, and we're good at that from a tax point of view. But our main space where we do really well for our clients is, growing small businesses and tax. So yeah, we've picked them up for.
So you look at you. You look at the ROI on that, and the lifetime value of some of those, and it's pretty high.
Oh, we'd be miles ahead, Trev. Yeah, miles ahead. But it's not, again, professional services grow organically, 0 to 5%. You gain some, you lose some. You gain some, you lose some. Some people have a very, very narrow niche, and they can grow, but professional services, professional people will understand that. Most of the people come through your networks. However, you do pick up more of the lifetime value of some of these. It's just we're miles ahead.
Yeah, and you've also mentioned to me in the past that you work with other types of professions that they're not necessarily clients, but they deliver clients to you. And you found that the videos have worked well with those referrers or influencers, I suppose you'd call them?
Well, we were struggling with a small commercial law firm who we used to refer work to, and the senior partner was phasing down to a younger partner. It wasn't quite working. And this fella found us in a Melbourne there on LinkedIn. He's in his mid to late 30s, and he's a beauty. We refer to him. He's our legal commercial guy now. And what I mean by that is someone selling their business and they do need to do a contract of sale. So we don't need a city law firm at $700 an hour. We need this fella at his, whatever he is, through $400 an hour. And he's great, guy on the up. Now, he just found us through LinkedIn. And we refer him a lot of stuff. He shifts stuff back to us. So you're tending to create relationships and professional relationships in what we do. Like, they're really important, the lawyers, but you've got to pass on to lawyers who are going to look after your client, number one, give them good service and give them good results. And that part of the videos has been really good too. Yeah.
So summing up, so number one is consistency. You know, over a period of maybe 3 years, you've done 120 videos or whatever. So showing up consistently, adding value, taking people, you know, behind the, I guess, the velvet rope of the business and your thinking and showing your IP and explaining things. So you're adding value. You know, people are going to, and the only people that are interested, going to be really interested in the sort of stuff you're doing, are really people who are running businesses who, you know, who need to understand that tax stuff. So by aiming it directly at, you know, your ideal clients, that's, they're the types of people who'll be watching it and potentially join you, or they could already be clients who might refer on as well. The authenticity side of things, just having a bit of fun, not taking it too seriously, but even though the message is still serious, and show a bit of your personality, and just having a crack, getting it across the channels, getting it up on your website, on YouTube, on LinkedIn, and it's just, it's not doing it all at once, is it? It's just making it part of your routine. I know some people can batch produce them, so if time's an issue, they might do, 10 in a morning. It sounds like you would prefer to just roll them out every week. Just before we finish up, what's the tech side of things on that? Because it's pretty simple today. And as you say, you hand off the once it's done, you hand that off to other people to finish that off, which is a great thing to be doing. But are you shooting off a phone or an iPad or a
camera? That's been really good too. All that stuff's just been so simple. We've actually just improved it in the last few weeks with Natalie at Paris, so she's just bought a couple of extra things. But for the last couple of years, I've just run with an iPad, a stand, and just a basic microphone sticking out of the iPad. So, and that's all it's been. So it means you can do it at home, you can do it in different offices, wherever you're going to be. But I've just added just one of those circle lights around the iPad now just to get better, just slightly better lighting. And then Natalie's added just a freestanding microphone, which is probably what you use. The stuff's just like, it costs nothing, Trev. It's just, it is just all content. I've noticed too, the 3 years I've been doing it, there's quite a few other accountants doing it now too, which is great. It's become a lot more the norm, and usually you'll find if there's a professional services, one of the partners in the firm might want to do that sort of thing. Like, I want to do it. The others don't really want to do it. Like it.
Yeah, that's terrific. All right, Pat. Well, thank you very much for taking us on a tour of your video exploits. I'll put some links into the show notes so people can go in and check it out. But it can be done. It does work, but it's got to be part of your rhythm and your routine. Have a bit of fun with it, and you improve. I guess if you go back and look at your first ones to what you're doing now, you improve with doing it. And if you wait till you're perfect, you'll never get it done. So don't let perfect get in the way of getting it done, getting it out there. As Seth Godin would say, just ship it.
yeah, that's exactly right. Just get it out there. And that's what you've always pressed, and that's what we do, yeah. Just get it out there.
Yeah, fantastic. Where's the best way if people can find you online, Pat?
Oh, well, we're parisfinancial.com.au, so all of our people are on there. And I'm on LinkedIn as well as Pat Mannix on LinkedIn. Do a heap of the stuff goes on my channel there.
Fantastic, Pat. Thank you very much for spending a bit of time with us today. It's much appreciated.
Thanks, mate.
Cheers.
Catch ya.
The reputation economy is here. The world today needs more genuine, credible experts and leaders to stand up and share their experience, their wisdom, their stories and ideas. Are you in?